Okay, we do have a very interesting panel here for our second topic. And the topic of this panel is going to be sort of the visionary side of this. So now that we've heard a lot about the different challenges and obstacles to moving forward in terms of creating the types of learning opportunities that we want our students to have to create those job skills of the future, we're now going to be talking about, well, what can be done right now? What is happening right now in our schools that might be interesting to share and discuss? What are some ideas? And once again, this panel is going to be sort of our kickoff panel for the next part, which is our brainstorming and our roundtable discussions. And so we are looking for our esteemed panelists here to provide some new ideas, to share with us what they're doing presently, and then we'll take it then into the brainstorming. So let me introduce to you who we have here. We have Steve Glyer, who is the Director of Education Technology in Newport Mesa Unified School District. Glad to have Steve here. Dr. Hernandez is the Chancellor of the Rancho San Diego Community College District. Kathy Moffitt is a member of the Orange Unified School District Board and 4th District PTA leader. Dan Sullivan is the principal of Tribuco Hills High School. Unfortunately, Virginia was not able to be with us today from Washington Mutual, but we do have three students. Abby Mendoza is a 9th grader from Brea Olinda High School. Jonathan, right next to her, is also a 9th grader from Brea Olinda High School. And my new friend, Moda, and I'm supposed to call him Moda, is from Century High School. Moda. He told me that's what he goes by. So we're all going to call him Moda. All right. So let's get into this. We are going to be talking about what different visionary type ideas we might have for solving this crisis or this challenge that we have in front of us. And so what I want to do is I want to give the panelists an opportunity in just very quick, 1 to 2 minutes, tell us some of the ideas that you might have and either share with us some experiences that you've had, particularly from the student standpoint, in terms of what you're presently doing in school, or just some ideas that you have. And I know, Kathy, you participate actually in the video that was put together with AEA. And we watched that last night, Kathy. You look great. Why don't we start off with you, because I know Tim has asked you some of these same type of questions.
Hello. Well, thank you, and it's my pleasure to be here. I represent two viewpoints, hopefully, that of a member of the school board and also that of a parent. And in Orange Unified and in Orange County and in the United States, we realize that there is a great need for increasing numbers of children who come out of schools ready to take on careers in science and the technologies. And we know that we don't have enough students prepared in those ways at the present time. Thanks to some leadership by teachers and educators and community resources such as Project Tomorrow, Beckman Science, Discovery Science Center, the Ocean Institute, professional associations, and others, that is starting to happen in Orange County and in Orange Unified, which is my school district. And it's up to school boards to make those decisions, to make them happen within school boards. And so it's important that school boards and trustees be brought into this conversation. We've instituted in my school district a great and extensive program of professional development to train teachers in use of hands-on science methods, and we are currently exposing thousands of additional children every year to hands-on science experiences, and these are very not only enriching experiences because they increase the scientific knowledge of the children, but they also, and especially in Orange County, this is important, they increase language skills because the activities go from concrete to language-based. In other words, you see things happening, you handle equipment, you write down your observations, and you examine and analyze the results that you see happening. And this is a very rich stimulus for language acquisition, which among Orange County students is a very important thing to have. We also know that when hands-on activities are combined with a textbook, it's a very rich instructional offering, much more rich than either the hands-on alone or the textbook alone, but having those two media together is very, very profitable for the kids and very useful. All parents want their children to succeed, and we want to help them understand what the future that they are going to inherit will hold for them. We want them to have the skills that are necessary for their jobs in the future, but parents have a hard time identifying what those are. You might have noticed just in your life that lots of children follow their parents into the same sorts of career paths. I think that that's a really powerful illustration that what students are exposed to are the things that they follow. So we need to get better at that in schools and also with parents. And I think that business and industry partnering with us is a way to do that and an important way to do that. Schools are, as has been mentioned, in California especially, particularly challenged. Amazingly, California schools, in California, we have among the highest standards in the United States. We also have among the most diverse student body. We have among the highest costs of living. And yet, amazingly, the amount we spend per student, as has been referenced here, is among the lowest in the United States. We have bigger classes and fewer adults to support the learning of our students than practically any other state in the United States. So therefore, this is a very big challenge that we have to identify and wrestle with. In the here and now, schools are doing their best to be efficient, and as a part of that effort, high schools are growing larger and larger to achieve efficiency. But what is frequently at risk, or the cost of that, is a loss of engagement and a loss of a personal connection between student and adult, or between student and schools. Ninth graders in particular are at risk, and we find that at this juncture is where students make it or break it lots of times in high school. Rigor, relevance, and relationships are three R's for the 21st century that you've probably all heard. Businesses can help, and we need their help by putting in students in touch with the business and industrial world. Student internships, job shadowing, student interest clubs, teacher industry partnering, these things all help, and we need more. A great teacher is also key, and you've heard about the challenges involved in attracting the best minds, particularly in science and math, into the teaching profession. As has been referenced, business and industry pay much more. New and creative ideas are in order here to lure terrific teachers into our classrooms. Here's an idea. Why can't the community and the businesses who support improved science and math education get together and create an endowed chair in chemistry for Santa Ana High School, or for Villa Park High School, or for whatever high school, and in that way provide extra compensation to that teacher who can earn maybe 50% more, maybe double what they make in teaching in private industry. This is a way that we can supplement and really hold a little bit higher level of competitiveness these positions that we really need to fill with excellent people in our schools. Also, how about communities and businesses joining with parents in supporting and demanding up-to-date facilities and equipment for science classrooms and labs? Studies show that the environment matters in attracting and retaining the best teachers. It also matters when it comes to student performance. So those are some things that we need to do, and not devalue those things as unimportant. The future definitely is a challenge, and it will take us all working together. I'm glad we're here talking about it.
Thank you, Kathy. Let's flip over to Dan down at the end of the table, because Dan's an actual principal at a high school, Tribuco Hills High School. And once again, what we're trying to do here is look for some visionary ideas, some out-of-the-box ideas. It could be something that you're already currently doing, or something that you're just thinking about. You know, actually, Kathy and I had talked about the endowed chair in chemistry before, and so what we are once again trying to do is sort of seed some ideas out there to get those creative juices going. Okay, Dan, that's your task.
Okay. Well, our context is a 3,100-student high school, rather large high school for the state of California. And I would say some of the things that we're doing with our existing resources, because it really is a discussion about resources. And if you look at the different types of things, physical resources, fiscal resources, personnel, and then you look at the intellectual resources, we're trying to reorganize things to use what we have in place. And I would say some of the key elements obviously are having great teachers that are innovative and willing to try new things. And not everybody has that capability. We have that the good fortune of having that kind of resource on our campus. And when we look at specifically in the areas of science and math and technology, we're trying to expand our resources, things we're doing when we're not doing accreditation reports and everything else. This year we decided we're going to focus on going to get some money and augment what we have to help keep our technology up to speed and put in some new programs. So we've actually acquired probably about 15 different grants this year, writing for various things. One of them was addressing the risk at-risk ninth graders. We got an SSP grant to address that, to come up with an innovative program that involves a new trend in animation and integrating English and social science and capturing the kid who typically would just fall through the cracks because they have no connection to school. So giving them a high interest connection using technology that addresses one strata of our student population. I know in the room here I have four teachers. One of them is a new physics teacher who just came out of industry, the networking industry, after many years, and is teaching physics for us. So looking at taking some risks that direction and on his part and also on our part. And also we have our AP computer science teachers here who teaches one period of that and then teaches four periods of discipline with our staff. So using people in unique ways and using their skills is part of the deal, and having people who are flexible and are willing to try new things. So we have a lot of different staff here. Our technology coordinator is in the room, who is a math and business teacher and volleyball coach, who is now one of the experts in our district about just all the different aspects of computer networking. So using your resources in that way. In science specifically, we've done a lot of things, particularly at the junior level once we establish a foundation. We have our docent science program, which has kids going out and teaching the science curriculum in the elementary schools. You talk about problem solving. For high school students going out to teach science concepts and standards to a bunch of fourth graders in an elementary school, five different elementary schools, it's a real challenge for them and a great way to explore all those other dimensions and those 21st century skills. We've done things with our Star Ranch Nature Preserve, where they have ongoing scientific research, so our kids, advanced kids, can interface on ongoing research projects, and our regular kid can get out in the field and see the actual application of science concepts and perform experiments in the field, which again gives them that connection. So there's a lot of different things that you can do, and we've done a lot branching out, going into the IB curriculum, International Baccalaureate, for the upper end kid who, we're seeing just the latest press releases about the AP test and how colleges, fewer and fewer colleges, are looking at it as a advanced placement credit option because they say the quality of kid that's coming through as past AP is not as good. I think colleges are grappling with the same situation. The test hasn't changed, so maybe they're looking at some other skill bases at the college level, and it's not really what AP is giving them. So we really need to think, kind of rework what we're looking at in that skill base. And so that's just a few examples. I don't know if there's a lot of others.
Those are great. I see people were sort of writing some things down. Mr. Glier, I know you've done a lot of innovative things in Newport Mesa with technology. So why don't you just give us, just one or two things that you think either have the most promise or even some things that you haven't tried yet that you're just thinking about.
Okay, thank you. First off, I am going to do a plug like Cheryl did, which is, if this is not on your reading list, it should be. It's probably the book that Ken Kate had indicated that everybody says that they've read. This is his new edition, and I had a chance to read it this last week, and actually gets and has a conversation about Daniel Pink and the whole right brain, which talks about the right brain learning, which I think is significant. So if you haven't picked it up, that's a plug for Thomas Friedman. When I think about my two boys, the way you adapt change is you have to make change personal. And I think that this became personal when I thought about my two boys that are in college. And it's the same question that Ken had said about, starving people in China, you know, and now it's the starving people that want your jobs. That is what actually electrifies me. And I think it electrifies the people that you're going to have conversations with, because we're involved with trying to make monumental change on a huge scale. And it has to be done at the local level, but it has to be done at the personal level. So I think that I really encourage you to have that conversation to people about their children and their futures, because that's when I think you're going to start to instigate some major shifts. Friedman talks a lot about leadership. Leadership is so critical to the process. He really makes a recommendation at the highest level, and this is at the federal level, that we engage ourselves in a push towards energy independence. And it doesn't mean dig more oil out of North America. It means use the same way that Kennedy used the mission to the moon. The mission to the moon, you know, we didn't go up there and get great rocks that were going to do something. What it did was it propelled us into a vision of doing something that had massive change. And if we could wrap our arms around just this one concept in the next 10 years, the amount of change that would go on in this world would be phenomenal. On a local level, just thinking about in our district, I think about the online education. We're in our third year of doing online learning. And what I have witnessed is that the way teachers handle online learning is significantly different than standard instruction. Because it isn't about standing at the front and lecturing to children about knowledge. It is about reinventing the whole process and coming into decision about what's important to provide learning process of, organizing it, and then sitting back and facilitating with the students as they're weaving through it. And what I've seen them is I've seen teachers pick up tools like, I don't know if you ever listened to KCRW, To the Point, Warren Olney does phenomenal interviews between competing issues. And so I have teachers that will take a To the Point podcast, download it, push it out for their students to listen to, jump on the sides of the fence and start having those deep, deep arguments. That's the kind of learning that actually puts it into a real context. So I kind of think that in our district, as we see online grow over the years, and I think it's just absolutely going to grow, it's going to produce a lot of change. Another piece of change it's going to do is, what is the definition of a professional day? When I have an instructor that teaches three online courses and then two face-to-face courses, does that instructor need to show up at campus at 7:30 and punch the clock and leave at 3:30? Or is it about what they're trying to achieve and accomplish? And I think it's about what they're trying to achieve and accomplish, which goes back to that assessment tool. So as we revive and evolve the whole assessment piece and we retarget that process and then deal with the new flexibility of what a real teacher does, I think we can see some significant pieces begin to shift.
Thank you, Steve. Dr. Hernandez, now you're going to come at this from, I believe, a little bit of a different level, being the chancellor of a local community college district. But what are you seeing either from the results of the students that you're getting out of our K-12 system or some innovative things that you're doing at the community college level to start addressing some of these challenges?
Thank you very much. One of the things that's happening with us as a system is the statewide academic senate right now is considering statewide policies that relates to the level of learning of students coming out of the K-12s. There's significant concern by instructors of English and math that it's just very, very difficult for them to do their job at their level and spending much more time moving them up from below college level courses into the college curriculum. One of the ways that community colleges are evaluated is by our transfer rates, and that means we have to have students ready to be transfer eligible. Whether or not UC or CSU accepts them, that's a different issue, but they have to be transfer ready. That means they have taken the necessary transfer courses. In order to do that, if after graduation a student comes to us and has to spend significant amount of time dealing with prerequisites that maybe should have been done elsewhere, we're talking about a two-year degree that's taking 3 or 4 or 5 years for a student to achieve. At community colleges in California, you may not know this, but one of our missions, it's in our mission statement, is economic development. And I think when someone was talking about some innovation and that maybe economic development should be part of the K-12 goal set, that's certainly one way of making it. by putting it as one of your missions as to why you exist is to improve the economic situation within your community. So based on that fact alone, we are involved in the economic development of our community and our school districts that we serve and in the region. And to that end, we have regional centers. We run the Small Business Development Center for the county. We run the California International Trade Development Center for the county. We are in the process of running, being funded as a result of a request from the Small Business Administration, a special grant to help women create new businesses in our community. So you can see that we are involved that way, and we have to figure out ways to connect our students with that activity, either as interns into the program, or they themselves working for the companies that we work with, or helping create their companies of their own. I wanted to mention several, just a couple of quick projects that I think that are special for us. One is the Digital Media Center, which is completed. We're going to open it up within the month or so this summer. And this is a project that is strictly a partnership situation. We recognize as an institution that we can't do it by ourselves, and anybody wants to help, and especially if they have money and resources, we're ready to go. And so with that concept, what we've been able to do is, if you take the Digital Media Center, this is a project that's about a $25 million project that involves federal money from the Department of Commerce saying they want us to help create jobs in the city. The city of Santa Ana giving us 2 acres of land, saying here it is for $1 an acre, and say, hey, we want this in our city because we had an option to put it in one of our other cities within our community. Our district spending our own resources to build this facility, and is essentially a digital media center that encompasses our business division, all of the high-tech business stuff. We also have a TV studio in there. We also have a whole variety of things. And in addition, we have a business incubator process in there. We're going to be having 10 to 15 businesses that are going to be moving in, and as a result of having some private funding, be able to start their own businesses. Our students from the college will be able to participate as interns, learn how those businesses are created, and assist in that whole process while being students in the business division. And that's one example. And so we need to have students, when they come to the community college with that kind of situation, be able to handle that. The other thing, the other one, if I could very briefly, is it was mentioned the Napa High School. We have come to an agreement with Santa Ana Unified. I serve on the board of directors for the Santa Ana Chamber, and the Chamber and Santa Ana Unified have created essentially High School Inc. as part of a new formula, very similar to the Napa. We had members of the Chamber of Commerce visit Napa High School, come back, and we've been able to create a partnership where the business community is going to be assisting that school district, along with the community college, is going to be involved because there's going to be emphasis on certain job skills and certain professional areas that make sense in healthcare and other kinds of things that are significant. And then the other thing is, I think it's important that people not forget, and it's been mentioned before, what I call regional learning centers. They're not part of our responsibility, but they're out there, whether it be the Discovery Science Museum or be other kinds of things like that we depend on. And we have to figure out ways how we can partner with them and assist them with funding and not just say, "You, we're really glad that you're there, and when can we come and take advantage of your services?" And so our college district and the Discovery Science Museum partnered together. We had some connections in NASA. We were able to get some special funding put in by Congress, and as a result of that, the Discovery Science Museum, we split a grant. Discovery Science Museum, which is just down the street from us, received half of this grant. The other half we put into Tessman Planetarium. Now, all of you should know about Tessman. That's the only planetarium in Orange County. We take care of 40,000 students from the K-12s come to that Tessman every year. And they come from not only Orange County, but from God knows where. And we do that because Well, just because. But the reality is there has to be ways that we can partner in that and support each other. How do we keep these regional learning centers open in some fashion, either by seeking grants together and doing a variety of things?
Wow, we've heard a whole bunch of very interesting ideas and different perspectives here. I want to turn the table a little bit because I want to get some input into this conversation from our students. Remember, I'm a huge advocate of student voice. And the particular students that we have on this panel have actually been involved in some very innovative programs that are developing 21st century skills, in many cases developing job skills for future jobs. So I'm going to call my friend Mota to tell us. I'm sorry, I'm not trying to be rude. He tells me to call him Mota. I'm going to call my friend Mota to tell us a little bit about the Acme Animation Project that you're doing at Century High School. And take it from the standpoint, Mota, is that, you know, what does it mean to you? You know, what is it given you as being involved in that particular program?
Well, at Century High School, I'm in the Acme Animation class, which is teach by Mr. Isbell. And the thing is, in that class, it has given me a lot of, options, and a lot of, it has opened, a lot more doors to realize what I could do and what I can't do. But specifically, what we do is we get together, we animate, but the big importance is that we also have, video meetings with a Disney animators, top animators from big companies, and it lets us, kind of take a look at, into what could happen, what could we be, and what could we do, and or we could do, my bad. And the thing is that in that class, we gain a lot of knowledge by not just drawing, which you might think is an artistic point of view only, but it actually takes a lot of math to realize what kind of movements you're gonna make, whether how many frames per second you need to actually get a character moving. It also emphasizes working within a group, specifically because I'm working on an animation project with three other fellow students, and we have been working together for about 2 months. And we thought it was just going to be a cakewalk, you know, just draw it out, you know, funny things. And the thing is, we have to get together, talk about what we want the story to be like. And then within that process, like I said, we had a video meeting with one of the top animators at Disney. And he just lets us know what our strengths are and what our weaknesses are, which are not bad things because we learn from that and we like to, do a better job in the future. Another project or another class I was in was in Cisco networking class. And the thing is about that class that I really enjoyed was the fact that even though I'm really into electronics, I really like to know what's in them, how everything works. And when I took that class, based on the fact that it's technological, or it's in the field of technology, I took that class and I figured out, I learned a lot of things. And the other thing that I learned was that it's not my specific thing. And it actually let me realize something before I go on to college and maybe spend a couple years trying to figure it out. And then in the end, you know, I end up maybe changing my course, and in the thing was, it's not my thing. I actually did learn a lot of things from it, and the thing is that I was in that class. I learned how to set up a network with modems, routers, and I was able to take those skills and actually put them into my house. My mom bought a house, and I implemented my skills from that class, and I.
Wow.
And, and I set up my own network in my house. And
how much you charge an hour, Mota?
And the thing is, little classes like that actually let you gain experience, let you know what you're good at, what options you can, you know, what paths to take. And this should be offered more during class hours. The thing is that ROP, which is mostly after school, offers a lot of these hands-on activities such as carpentry, you know, the things that were in our schools a while back ago, and we should implement those and put those back into the schedules so that we can, I guess, figure out who we are and what we want to do.
Great, thanks, Mona.
Our other two students that we have on the panel here, Abby and Jonathan, are from Brea Olinda High School, and they're ninth graders in the Global IT Academy, Information Academy, that is there. And either one of you, or both together, either way you want to do it, tell us a little bit about what being, and you're ninth graders, so you're new into the program, mm-hmm. and obviously it is a fairly new program, but tell us, you know, what it means to you, what the impact has been on you being involved.
Okay, in order to address that question, I'd like to give a brief introduction of the Global IT Academy, particularly emphasizing in the area of communication, where I feel has contains many of the problems as well as solutions for today's 21st century learning. While there are 13 female students in the academy and likewise 13 male, we're all freshmen. A majority of us take honors classes as well as sports and after school activities. Generally speaking, we do share many interests, but the boundary of similarity ends there. When you enter our classroom, the differences between myself and my peers becomes evident in terms of culture, ideas, levels of creativity, even methods of coding implementation. And as such, these range of collective ideas from each student become so overwhelming that communication is not only defined in the academy as an occasional chat between two people, but rather more so an imperative to accomplish the task at hand, which is actually why group works in the academy are becoming very commonplace. And also, one of the biggest problems today, we believe, is the lack of communication between public education institutes and the corporate world. This is actually one of the problems or main areas of concern that the academy is trying to reverse through its partnership with the University of California in Irvine and business leaders to try and create a more business-oriented environment where they prepare us for the competitiveness, the uniqueness, and the fast pace and interdependency that comes with entering a real world. And actually, industry experts come to us on a monthly basis to talk about IT ethics and even the importance of video games in education. Yeah, and it is at least through their eyes that we see part of what is to come for us. And perhaps our biggest and most accomplished part of the communication standpoint is our collaboration with China. Initially, we planned to communicate with our sisterhood school in Dongguan. Unfortunately, there have been some setbacks because, of course, this is a transition. We're just a beginning program. So in the meantime, we're working in Dongguan to we're actually communicating with them via email and hopefully teleconferencing, right now only instant messaging, on a group work that we've all been assigned. And hopefully, too, they will come. There's another school in Beijing that we're planning to collaborate with, and they will come here during the summer, and we're going to take them to UCI and perhaps Disneyland. I'm crossing my fingers on that. So as of now, our connections are limited to China, but we do want to spread our horizons to perhaps Japan and Mexico and even Canada to try and uphold our name and truly become academically global. Well, one of the main reasons why I joined the Academy was because of the insurmountable opportunities that it had to offer. From the interview process onward, I discovered that as students, our opinions were not only being heard, but they were being very much valued in the academy. And this is why I feel that improving communication will be a contributing factor not only to the academy's success, but ultimately to other schools as well. So thank you.
My name is Jonathan, and as Mr. Ken Kay was saying that critical thinking is something really important that students of the high school should know. I would be talking about how critical thinking and problem solving is involved in this Global IT Academy. Even though we're programming, the programming field is not the main objective of the Global IT Academy, but instead to obtain the information to manage the IT field in the future. Right now, we're programming the Visual Basic .NET Studio, and the computer reads the code line by line, so everything must be perfect. So students are forced to think critically about what they're putting into the code. Every little thing matters, so like something as simple as a comma or a period could change a Barbie from shooting a gun to the Barbie running away. While we're coding, we imagine what the product would be, so it increases our visualization and our creativity, and it makes us think outside the box. While we're programming in Visual Basic .NET, we constantly encounter problems that we need to solve, and we use our critical thinking skills and our problem-solving skills to help ourselves and others solve the problems. One of the programs that we made was a financial car program that calculated the price of a car after a certain amount of years, and it calculated it with interest rates. And we needed to know our order of operations, our exponentiations, and our logic skills. Next year, we are learning the Java language, and it's going to be a lot tougher than this year, and every little word or punctuation mark matters even more. We're going to learn how to think critically just by programming in this new environment. As juniors and seniors, we're going to start the business part of this academy by finding the desires of the buyers in the real world. All in all, critical thinking and problem solving are vital to the 21st century learning and will eventually prepare us for the business world in the future.
Thank you very much, Jonathan.